You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. I think one of the hardest things there is to do in music is write a love song that expresses something real. I read that the song Liar by Paramore was written by Hayley Williams, the singer of the band, about her longtime bandmate Taylor York, and about the feelings that she started to realize that she'd had for him. Paramore has been a band for over 20 years, since Hayley and Taylor and Zach Farrow, who plays drums, were all young teenagers. Paramore's won a Grammy for Best Rock Song, and they have multiple platinum albums. But with all that history, Taylor and Hayley only recently became a couple. Liar is a song off of their most recent album, This Is Why, which came out in February 2023. So I talked to Hayley, Taylor, and Zach in their studio about how their song first came about and what it means to them.
I sing for the band.
My name is Zach Farrow. I play the drums.
And I am Taylor, and I play guitar. With this record, we wanted to revisit a sort of aggression or like urgency that we haven't explored in a while. And I think I maybe in particular was pushing that a little bit hard at times.
So we had been working on not even always aggressive songs, but just songs that felt jumpy and angular. And
Zach and I were working at his studio at his house at the time, and he was like, dude, do you think maybe we could just like try to write something that's chill? Like, I just need a break from just trying to kind of go all out.
I just like really wanted a slow song.
And I was like, yes, I think I need that too. The guitar part is actually something that I'd had for years. I've been trying to find a song for that since I was a teenager. That happens all the time where there's like something all right, and every so often I'll play it and just like hope someone's like, ooh, what's that? You know, and no one normally ever bites.
That's not true.
No. But all I'm saying is that when I played it and then you were like, oh yeah, that's great, let's do that, I was like, no way, it might find a home finally.
Taylor apparently has had this for years, but I just found out about. But I normally work off, you know, just immediate inspiration, you know, like a reaction. So I went and tried a drum beat over it.
Anytime I bring an idea in, there's always a split second when a drum beat happens that's not what was in my head, where I kind of have to grieve where I saw things going, you know? But truthfully, Zach is my favorite drummer, and so it always turns out so much better when Zach starts getting his hands on things, and also when Hayley does. That's when it becomes our band, and it's not just what I have in my head.
We were kind of just riffing off each other.
Tried a couple things, and then, you know, I was like nodding at him, you know, as dramatically as I could. I was like, yes, that is sick. After we wrote that, we were like, yeah, we need to get this to Hayley tonight to see if this is even worth, you know, exploring.
Taylor kind of was like, let's just send Hayley like start ideas.
10 years ago, I remember when I would write an idea, I would get really carried away and I would spend sometimes a couple days making an entire song, you know, and I'd be so, so excited. And then, you know, I'd send it to her and she would always be incredibly kind, but, you know, sometimes wouldn't connect with it. And so then a part of me would die because I spent so much time and it wasn't the right thing. So I think we've learned as a group, it's like just doing little bite-sized things and then seeing if that sparks something.
So they first sent me like the whisperings of the song. It was like the very beginning. It just was such a warm hug. I vaguely remembered that I'd heard Taylor play these types of chords before, but I was so excited because I too was just ready for something different that felt a bit more like an exhale. Throughout our entire friendship and like the evolution of the band, I think we've always loved really beautiful, somewhat ambient music like Blonde Redhead or Cocteau Twins, things that people would never equate with Paramore. You know, they would not know that these are our influences. And I remember thinking, oh, the music's so beautiful. I wish I was the kind of singer that would write something just really soft and flowing to this. I always wish that about myself, but I love writing rhythmically. The only way I know how to describe it is it's just with more of a hip hop mentality. I'm thinking about how many bars I'm working with, how many syllables I can fit into that space, and if I can make a good melody out of those little beats. So I pretty quickly started writing what was the moment. It's hard to say. I'm sure I don't remember anyway, you know, and then I'm like, how do I put melody to that?
What was the moment? It's hard to say. I'm sure I don't remember anyway. Before I only knew to hesitate, pinned back in the grenade.
I was like, okay, I'm trying to say that there's an inherent wisdom our physical selves try to move towards, but you're constantly like getting in the way of truth that your body like wants, but all of the decisions that we make like muck it up and make it complicated. I wanted to find a way to talk about that in the context of love. It was a revelatory experience for me writing this song because as some of those lyrics are coming out, I'm like learning about myself.
And why should I deny what's all at once so crystal clear?
Haley would actually sing and perform her parts for us in the room. And I remember Haley at one point just pausing and like the hesitation of singing about love. Mm-hmm. I remember you just making this like, well, I'm scared, but I like this a lot.
Even after all of these years, I think all three of us still have some nerves at that moment every time because your hope is that you all connect to the same thing.
But I just remember like getting halfway through it and be like, why are we not recording? You've recorded this, right? Like, why are we not like start tracking this? Because this is gold.
This is the original demo for Liar.
What was the moment? It's hard to say. I'm sure I don't remember anyway. Before I only knew to hesitate. Back in the grenade.
We were writing the song and we weren't happy with the tempo, and I like was moving the tempo up and down in Logic, and it warped the guitar part. But Taylor left the guitar part in the actual recording because it sounded so glitchy and weird. Now I thought that was a fun, I don't know why I said fun, because it wasn't that fun, it was just a cool thing that we left in there.
We recorded this record with Carlos de la Garza. We've just always really had such a great creative relationship with Carlos. And he was the catalyst of building the chorus up to feel more open and lush.
The chorus got a lot more like dreamy. Everything is a little bit more drawn out.
Almost every part of the music in the chorus was like dancing around another part. But there was still a lot of beautiful space, and I remember trying to figure out, do I want to keep being rhythmic with it, or do I want to try my hand at being one of those singers that does the pretty thing? And I really went for it. I have spent quite some time fighting a very simple feeling, which is just like falling in love. And so a lot of my life, I was realizing as I'm writing these lyrics, I've just spent so much time complicating things that really are simple. For me, so much of my experience of love and intimacy in relationship has been muddled by trauma that either I experienced myself or witnessed in my family. And I think that for a lot of my life, that's not the kind of vulnerable you want to be, because you really could end up in some scary situations. So in my case, having something be simple and feel okay actually felt very scary and wrong. I always like when there's a song that like the entire lyric can be summed up in like a line or in a moment. And that's why the bridge, you know, love is not an easy thing to admit. I'm not ashamed of it.
Love is not an easy thing to admit, but I'm not ashamed of it. Love is not a weakening if you feel it rushing in. Don't be ashamed of it.
We get very emotional and opinionated in the studio because we're trying to make something that we know is going to last till after we're gone. Brian Robert Jones played bass on this record. And so, you know, he had so many people speaking in his ear, and yet he would still come up with these really beautiful parts. You know, like that part is really simple, but none of us would have come up with that. When we demoed this song out, Zach played those notes on a MIDI Mellotron plugin. But at some point, a friend of a friend let us use this crazy studio in LA. They had a vibraphone there. And so we were like, we actually have to make that real and recreate it. So Zach played it. Those are flutes, clarinets, and a bass clarinet. Our friend Henry Solomon played all of those things. When we were writing this record, I was really inspired by really airy things, you know, like pipe organs, that really breathy character. Like, I just was obsessed with it. I was like trying to sneak it in anywhere that I could. So those parts were actually like MIDI clarinets. So he just played all of those parts down from the MIDI notes, you know. It was a really emotional moment for me, you know, to see this thing that we had worked on and then have someone come and like bring it to life.
I loved his like massive NASCAR shirt he was wearing, because when you think about people like that, I think like someone wearing like a straight up bow tie, you know, just like so professional. Yes. And like rocking. And then he just came in with these like big baggy jeans and this NASCAR shirt. And I was like, oh, who's this cool dude? And then he was like rocking the clarinets. And I was like, wow, this is, that's my kind of dude.
Love is not awakening if you feel it rushing in. Don't be ashamed of it. And all my love, I lied to you, but I never needed to. Oh, my love, I lied to you, but you always knew the truth.
It's amazing, like the mental gymnastics that you'll do, the emotional gymnastics that you'll do to run away from something that's really actually pretty simple and actually right for you. Love is not a weakening if you feel it rushing in. It's like, to an extent, it happens to you and you can't control that, but then you're met with the choice. It actually was a harder lesson to learn to receive it, like almost to like let it in. And I had to allow myself to feel that and to understand that I'm safe here.
Coming up, you'll hear how all of these ideas and elements came together in the final song. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. And now, here's Liar by Paramore in its entirety. Clean.
Love is not an easy thing to admit, but I'm not ashamed of it. Love is not a weakening if you feel it rushing.
For more info, visit songexploder.net/paramore. You'll find links to buy or stream Liar. If you like this episode, check out Wolf Alice's episode from 2018 about the song Don't Delete the Kisses. Carlos de la Garza was the engineer on that song, and it's also about love. You'll find that and all the other episodes of the podcast at songexploder.net or wherever you listen. This episode was made by me, Craig Ely, Theo Balcom, Kathleen Smith, and Mary Dolan. The episode artwork is by Carlos Lerma, and I made the show's theme music and logo. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. You can learn more about our shows at radiotopia.fm. You can follow me at Rishi Hirway, and you can follow the show at Song Exploder. You can also get a Song Exploder t-shirt at songexploder.net/shirt. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.